The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Chayesora. In the Parsha of Chayesora, we learn about the marriage of Yitzchok, the son of Abraham, to Rivka. Rivka, who was the daughter of Bisuel, the son of Nochor, Abraham's brother. And this wedding was made by Eliezer, their Abraham's servant. And the Torah goes at great length to tell us all about it. And there are various dinim, halachas, various customs and laws that we learn from here in regards to a wedding. I would like to spend this evening speaking a little about the broches, in particular, which we make at our chasanas, at our weddings, tachas achupa, under the chupa, and to try to understand them a little better. Now, before we go into this, there's a few things we have to understand. Firstly, there's what in popular English language would be called engagement. This is what the Gemara refers to as shiduchin. That's haskoma, an agreement on both parties to be married. And this has a source in the Gemara. The Gemara brings this in Kedushin, Daf Yud Beis Omid Beis, that a person is not allowed to marry someone before Shiduchim, before there's an agreement, a formal agreement between the parties. And we also call this, we also refer to this as Tanoim. Tanoim means conditions. The reason for this is because it was the custom, and perhaps it still is in many places, of Ksivas HaTanoim, at the time of the shiduchim, of the engagement, to write down the conditions of the marriage, when the marriage should take place, the conditions of the nadunya, of the dowry, and so forth. And it's a custom to make a simcha in the house of the kala or some other appropriate home. For this, many people make a suda, a meal, although one is not obligated, but to make some type of simcha to rejoice over this. Now, the shiduchin does not constitute kimuvin, as is understood, any marriage yet. It's only a commitment to marry. Now we have a second stage. According to the Torah, the marriages by Klal Yisrael are broken up into two stages. One is known as erusin. That's the first stage, and the second stage known as nesuin. Now, erusin is when the chosen, a man marries a kala, his bride, through the kinyonim, through the ways of marriage, of acquisition, which are mentioned in the Torah, in the Devarim Chav Dalet. The common way is kesef, through giving her something of value. Through this, she becomes an eshesi, she becomes a married woman, and now is forbidden to have relationships with any other man, because she's a married woman. And if she would want to become free of her husband, she would need a get, a divorce. But she would still remain bebeis aviha, in the house of her father, and he would remain in his house, and they will not live together yet. This is the first stage of marriage, and this is called erusin. It's also referred to in the Torah as lekuchin, and the Rabbanan gave it a name, kiddushin. And at the time of the erusin, they would make a simcha, a sudas erusin, a feast, which was called the Feast of the Erisin, and this would be Bebeis Aviho, this would be in the bride's house, because the bride is still living there. And there would be brochas at the Erisin, and these brochas would be called Birchas Erisin. Then there's a second stage to marriage, and that, as mentioned, is the Suin. What is that? That would be the Halachas Akala Mebeis Aviho Lebeis Achosen. When they would decide that they wanted to begin to live together, this was decided mutually by the two parties. Sometimes it might have been a year later, sometimes it could have been less, or just a few months. Whenever, as much as it took preparations to be made, then the family of the Kala would march the Kala from her house, from their home, to the Beis HaChosen, to the house of the Choson. And once they would take her into the home of the Choson, with the understanding that this is going to be her new home, then she would become what is known as a Nesua. And the second stage of the marriage would be formally completed. This is also referred to by the Gemara as Chuppah. As Chuppah. Once she was Nichnas la Chuppah, she went into the home of the Choson, she became then legally, which the Torah refers to as She'era. Not only the wife, not only his wife as she was before, but kinship. What's the differences? Well, the Gemara gives us three basic differences between a woman who was only married through Erisin and a woman who also had Nisuin. The Gemara tells us one place in Kiddushin Daf Yud, Liyarsha, Ulatamala, Ulahafin Adoreha. In regards to Yerusha inheritance, if she only had the first stage, Erisin, but she was never Nichnasa Lachupa, she never went to the Chupa, to the house of the Choson to live, and heaven forbid she died, so then her husband would not inherit her. But if she died after Nisuin, she already went into the house of the Choson, so then he would inherit her. That's one difference. A second difference, the Gemara tells us, L'tamalo, if her husband is a Kohen, and she died before going into the house of the Choson, so then he was not allowed, a Kohen is not allowed to come into contact with dead people, except close relatives. But even though legally she was his wife, but since she was not She'ero, she was not his kinship yet, so he was not allowed to become Tomei to her, to come into close contact to bury her. But if it was after she already entered into the house of the Choson, then Letamalo, then he would be able to come into close contact with her to bury her. A third difference the Gemara brings, Lohofe Medoreho, if she was a Ketano or an Aro, if she was a young girl, she was under 12 and a half years old, and she made a vow, a neder. As long as she was in the Rishus Aviho, still in the house of her father, if she was unmarried, then the father could be Mefer Nidoreho, the father could annul her vows. If she was an Arusa, she had this first stage of marriage, then only the father together with her Choson could annul her vows. Once she already went Bebeis Chasno, once she already went into the house of her new husband, then only the husband could annul her vows. There are many, many other differences also, not necessarily min HaTorah, but min Rabbonan. An example would be Chiyuv Mezeinos, the obligation of support. He was only obligated to support her from the time that she would come into his house. And when she would come into his house, then this was an additional simcha, because this was the gemar, the finalization of the second stage of marriage. So a simcha would be made. Again, there would be broches. These broches were called either birchas anasuin or birchas chasanim, because these broches took place in the house of the Choson, and the Choson would make a big feast, which was known as the Sudas Choson. And these brachos were also referred to in a popular language as sheva brachos, because there were seven of them. So, you know, before going into the understanding of the brachos, we have to understand the basic fundamentals of the marriage. So again, there's a preliminary stage to marriage which does not constitute marriage. It constitutes engagement. And this is known in the language of the Gemara as Shiduchim. This is also referred to as Tanoim, which means conditions, because generally the conditions of the marriage were written at this time, and a little simcha was made. This is Shiduchim. Then, when they would get married, according to the basic mitzvah of the Torah, the marriage was dealt with in two separate stages. The first stage was known as erisin, also referred as lekuchim, ki ikach ishisho, and the Chachomim gave it a terminology, kedushin, sanctification. And that's when the choson would give to the kala something of value in order to constitute this marriage, or there are other ways he also could do that. But she would remain in her father's house and he would remain in his home. But nevertheless, she was considered an Eishes Ish Gemura. She was considered a total married woman in regards that she was not allowed to marry anyone. She would not be allowed to marry anyone else, and she would need a divorce from her husband if she wanted to be free of him. And the second stage, which took place later when they were ever ready to go to the chuppah, this was called the suin, or also referred to as chuppah. And this was the halachas kala mibeis aviyah lebeis achoson. The family of the kala would march her, usually through the streets of the city, or of the Jewish quarter, from their home to the house of the choson. And once she entered the house of the choson, with this understanding, then she became a nesua. That was the finalization of the marriage. And at both stages, a simcha, it was a great simcha, with a suda, with a feast, and the brochas, particular brochas that the chazal, that the sages enacted for these stages. And as we mentioned, there were differences legally, even though she was a married woman under all accounts, there were differences legally if she was a arusha or if she was a nesua. Now this is the basic pattern of marriage by Klal Yisrael, as given to us by the Torah. It's already many, many years, perhaps 1,000 years, or 700 or 800 years at least, since by at least the Bnei Ashkenaz, I'm not familiar what the Bnei Sfard have been doing, but the Bnei Ashkenaz, the Jews of the European countries, somewhat refashioned this pattern in order to make the erisin and the nesuin, both stages of marriage, all at one time. And that's why this would seem somewhat strange to us today. They have the shiduchim, the tanoim, the engagement, similar to the way it always was. But when it would come time for the actual marriage, they would not make it in two stages, but all in one stage. The reason for this is brought in the Rishayim, the early commentators, because of the Tzoras HaGolus, that we lived in exile and we never knew what was going to happen the next year or the next month, or sometimes not even the next week. They held it was a very vulnerable situation where a woman should be married and yet she's not together with her husband. She's living in a different place than her husband. Could come, heaven forbid, a pogrom or something else, and they're separated, and here she's a married woman, and she's in one place and her husband's in another place. So therefore they said, better become engaged, but when you get married totally with both erisin and nesuin, so they'll be living together. And if it comes a situation, heaven forbid, that they have to leave town or something, they'll leave together. So therefore today we make this all at one time. And how does it work? The commentators, the rabbis explained that when the couple are ready to become married, it actually starts from the badekin. That is brought as the tekilas hachupa. But the chosen, together with the shushvinim, those are his best men, his family and so forth, they go to the kala, to the house of the kala, and the chosen puts the veil over the kala, and at that time they give the kala a brocha. And that brocha actually is learned from our sedra, that Eliezer and the others with him and the family gave Rivka a brocha, achoseni at ti la ahiel la alfei revova, that our sister you should be for thousands and tens of thousands shall come from you. Then we have what we call a chuppah, and that's what's familiar to us. It's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. That's a yirias, it's a cloth which is spread over klunosis, spread over poles. It was a very common custom in the European countries that this would take place in the Chotzer Beis HaKnesses, in the courtyard of the local shul. Didn't have to, but this was a very common practice. And the family of the kala would lead the kala from her home, actually in the European cities, till the war. This was common. They would lead her through the streets also of the Jewish quarter. They would lead the kala through from her home to this chuppah, which represented the Rishus HaChosen, which represented the home of the Chosen, the domain of the Chosen. And he would be there waiting for her. And they would come under the chuppah, and there, though, they would make the erusin. There they would have to make the tchilas kedushin that in old days was already made in the house of the kala. So that was done by the chosen giving, the common practices, a ring to the kala in front of two legal witnesses. And once he did that, she became a mekudesha, she became an arusa. The first stage of kedushin was completed. And for that, there would be brochas. Then, following that, we have a custom where the ksuba is read. The purpose for this was enacted by Rashi, it's brought, in order to make an interruption between the two stages, because of a particular problem with the brocha, which we might go into a little later. And then, following that, began the stage of the nesuin, of what would be called the chuppah. So the brochas of the nesuin were pronounced, and then the chosen and the kala would go to a private room where they would eat, which was further which further represented he bringing his kala into his domain, and that completed the marriage. So our custom for many, many years has been is where we do the erusin and the nesuin all together and all under what we refer to as the chuppah. So therefore, when it comes to the broches, we have two sets of broches: Birchas Erusin and Birchas Nesuin. Now we'll explain these a little better. Under the chuppah, we have two cups of wine. And the reason for this is because we're going to have two sets of broches: one cup for the Birchas, for the Erusin, and one cup for the Nesuin. The reason why we use a cup of wine is because when it comes to very important brochas, it's a mitzvah to be keveal al kais, especially brochas that have in it a shvach, a praise to Hashem. So it's a mitzvah to praise Hashem over wine, and therefore we keveal al kais, we say these brochas on a cup of wine. The reason why we don't say both sets of brochas over one cup of wine, because the Gemara says, "Einasin mitzvahs chavileis chavileis," that It's better not to bunch up different mitzvahs together over one cup of wine, but give the prestige to each mitzvah individually. So therefore we have two cups of wine. First, we take the first cup of wine, and this is for the Birchas HaErusin. Before we make the Birchas HaErusin, we make a Beiri Pri HaGofen. I had a silly here, what happened to it? No. We make a Beiri Pri HaGofen, and then we make the Birchas HaErusin. The nusach, the terminology of the Birchas HaErusin is Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. We bless Hashem, who is the Melech HaOlam, the King of the, our God and the King of the entire world, Asher Kitshonu B'mitzvesov, who has sanctified us with mitzvahs, V'tzivonu Al Ha'arayis, and who has given us the commandment of Arayis in the Torah. There's a whole list of people which were given to Klal Yisrael specifically, who they're allowed to marry and who they're not allowed to marry. There's a list there of some 23, 24 different women, different relationships that were not allowed to marry. This was given to Yisrael. B'nei Neach, the sons of Neach, have a much lesser number. They have only about 6 that they're not allowed to marry. This was given to Yisrael because Yisrael were given extra mitzvahs, extra sanctifications. So in this we thank Hashem. Ba'os alonu es harusais. And he forbade us to live even with women who we already performed the first stage of marriage with. But he permitted us to live together with women who were already nesues, who already were the final stage of marriage was made. And this is with kedushin and chupa. Baruch Ato Hashem, Mekadesh Amo Yisrael, Ayidei Chupa V'Kedushin. So blessed are you, Hashem, who has sanctified his nation Israel with the mitzvahs of chupa and the mitzvahs of kiddushin. This is the Birchas HaErusin. There are two opinions in the Gemara, what kind of bracha is this? In the Rishonim. One opinion is, of this opinion, amongst those that hold this opinion is the Rambam, that this is a Birchas HaMitzvah. That just like before we perform any mitzvah, we have to make a brocha. This also is a mitzvah. And therefore, we have to make a brocha. What is the mitzvah? So the Rambam says that in the Torah, in Parshas, Devarim Chof Dalet, I believe it is, Parshas Kisetze, it states, Ki yikach ish ishu volo, that if a person wants to take a woman to live with, first he must take her with in the proper manner that the Torah has commanded and sanctify her. First he must acquire her properly. So that's the mitzvah. Since that's a mitzvah, we must make a broch on it. This is the Rambam's opinion, and many other Rishonim. Others hold, this is not a birchas a mitzvah, it's not a broch for a mitzvah, but rather a birchas shvach vehido. This is a broch to give praise to the Almighty that He gave us this wonderful sanctification of chupa v'kedushin. This broch belongs to the chosen. This is basically the Chosin's Brocha, because he is the one who is performing the mitzvah here, and certainly according to the opinion of the Rambam. Therefore, basically, the Chosin should be the one to make it. But we don't find, this is already for centuries and centuries, we don't find, at least in B'nai Ashkenaz, at least amongst European Jewry, where the Chosin would make this Brocha, but someone else would make it. An appointee of the Chosin would make it. And it's brought, the reason for that is Shalei Levayish Mishena Yochel, since his bracha was made publicly, and not only Talmidei Chachomim married, but everyone got married. So therefore, in order not to embarrass someone who was unable to make the bracha, so it became the custom in later centuries that instead of the chosen making the bracha, his appointee, his shliach, would make it. With that, then, after this brocha, a ring would be given from the chosen to the kala in front of two witnesses, and he would declare his intentions, that with this he wants to marry her, and by her acceptance of it, She declares her intentions, and with this they're married. And this is the Kiddushin. Now we enter into the second stage. As mentioned, from Rashi came the custom to make an interruption between the two stages by reading of the Ksuba. Actually, the reason why Rashi was concerned with that is because we're going to take another cup of wine and make another brocha beri pi agofen. And really, that brocha is not necessary since we already made one. So in order to make that brocha necessary, we interrupt the proceedings. And with the reading of the Ksuba. What is the Ksuba? The Ksuba actually does not have anything directly with the enactment or with the processing of the marriage. But the Ksuba is a shtar. It's a document in which states basically the monetary obligations that the choson has accepted upon himself towards the kala. Some of those monetary obligations are min haTorah, where the Torah has committed the choson to this, and others are min haRabbanan, where the bezdin, the rabbis, have committed the choson to this. Now, when we finish reading the Ksuba, now we go into the second stage of the marriage, which, as said, is known as the Nisuin, or also referred to as the Chuppah, even though by our custom we were already under the Chuppah. And that means that the Kala is together with the Chosen in his domain. So there's no further action that's necessary there, because they're already standing together under the Chuppah. So now we make the brochas, which were specifically designed for the Chuppah. And these brochas, the Gemara refers to these brochas as Birchas Chasanim, because they are the brochas which are made in the Choson's home. Technically, they're known as Birchas Nesuin. And popularly, they're known as Sheva brochas, because there are seven brochas. So we take a second cup of wine, for the reasons mentioned before. And the first bracha is to make a beri pri agofen. Then, the second bracha is, Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shehakol Bora Lichveidoy. We bless Hashem, who has, that everything was created for His honor. Now, what does this bracha have to do with the chasana? So Rashi explains in Ksubas and Daf Zayin Amud Beis, Daf Ches. Yes, in Daf Ches, Rashi explains. It's a very interesting explanation. He says this brocha really doesn't go on the chosen and kala, or on the marriage, but rather this bracha is directed to the people that have gathered together to celebrate the wedding with the chosen and kala. Al ha-sefes ha-am. There's a huge gathering. People have come for the simchas chosen and kala. So therefore we make a bracha on it. Now there's the question, but why? Why should we make a brocha on it? We don't find that by other gatherings we make a brocha. So he says something very interesting. He says, why have the people come? Generally, people come to weddings for many different reasons. Most people come because they're invited. Others come because they know the father or the mother. Others come because they know of the chosen. Others because of the father, the mother, the kala. Some comes because they know the chosen or the kala. Everybody's coming for different reasons. Rashi says, no, that's not the reason. You know, by Jews, it's the custom that people come to chasanas. Chasanas draw crowds. This is tradition for a long time. Why? Rashi says the reason why people come to chasanas, at least the old tradition reason, and that we follow, even though we might not know the reason for it, is because we are emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to the chasana of Adam v'Chava, of the first man and first woman. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Erevin, and Daf Yud Ches, Sefer Amar Aleph and Yud Ches Amar Beis, it states, Vayiven Hashem Elokim es Atzela. When Hashem made Chava, he made Eve, the first woman. Actually, there's a machlekes, a dispute in the Gemara, what does that mean? We'll go into a little more soon. But when Hashem created man and woman, according to one opinion, they were created together. He just separated them later on. According to another opinion, man was created, and then he took a side or a rib from man, and from there he fashioned Chava. So this is what it means, Vayiven Hashem Elokim es Atzela. He took this side from man and he fashioned it into Chava, into Eve. So the Gemara says, but what does the word Vayiven means? Melamed shekilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu lechava ve'hivia le'odem harishon shekein b'kroch hayam korin lekliyosei v'niyosei. He fashioned her hair. When he made Chava, he made her hair into a very, very beautiful hairstyle, in order to bring her to Adam, and that for the chasana she'll look very beautiful, and Adam will be very happy with her. That's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara tells us, by Yeviyah Elo Adam, it says he brought her to Adam. Why did he have to bring her to Adam? She was capable of walking. She was created, she was already an adult. Adam and Chava, when they were created, they were not born from day one, but they were created in maturity. So he could have just told her, go to Adam. Why did he bring her? He brought her. Malamit Shosa Korish Bohu Shushvinus Lod Marishan. Because he wanted to be a Shushvin. Shushvin means those, the attendants of the Chosen and Kala. He wanted to attend. He wanted to be the best man. And he wanted to help them with their simcha. That's why it states, Vayiviyehu ala Odom, that he brought her to man. Mikan, from here the Gemara says, Legodl shiyase shushvinis lakotin val yer aloi. From here we see that if someone is getting married, and the person that's getting married, he needs help, there's a lot to do, the chosen and the color. So it's a mitzvah to be his shushvin, it's a mitzvah to assist him and to attend him, but not only if he's greater than you, but even if you're greater than him. Even a godel lekotin, that it is proper for a greater person to assist and attend a smaller person in stature on their chasana, ve'al yer alei, and don't let it concern you, shafa korish baruch hu, because even HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this, he is the one who personally attended Chava at the chasana of Adam v'Chava. That's what it means, vayiviyeha elo Adam. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't send her on her way and tell her to get married, but he personally took her and he personally prepared her and he personally attended the simcha. So Rashi says that's why we come to a chasana. At least that's the origin of why we come to a chasana. Because we, achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu, we are obligated to walk in Hashem's ways. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he went to the first chasana and he waited and attended upon them and helped them with their simcha, therefore we must follow his ways and also do so. Therefore, what we do, the fact that there's a crowd here, that's a kovet for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an honor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's a zecher lechasdei amokim. Because this is a constant reminder of the chesed, of the goodness that Hashem showed to Adam and Chava. Look how many people come. They're coming because this is what Hashem did, So this is honor to Hashem. So that's why a crowd that comes to a chasna is different than a crowd that comes to any other simcha. A crowd that comes to another simcha could be for different reasons, but the crowd that comes to the chasna is because they are following the way of what Hashem did at the chasna, of Adam Mechava, and they're publicizing by doing this, and this brings honor to Hashem. Because of this, Rashi says, this requires a brocha. So therefore we make a brocha, shehakol bora lichveidoi, that all was created for his honor. So this brocha really is, has nothing to do with the chosin v'kala, but rather al ha-sefes ha'am, on the gathering of the people. If this is the case, so why is it made under the chuppah? It should be made before the chuppah, as soon as the people start coming in. So Rashi says, right, technically it should have been made then. But since later on we're going to make brochas over a keshel yain, a cup of wine, so we delay this brocha till later also, in order that it can have the honor of being said over the cup of wine. So this is the meaning of the, and the meaning and the intention and the interpretation of this first brocha, shehakol bara lichveidoi. Now we come to a second brocha. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, yetzer ha'adam. We bless Hashem who has created man. Now here we can ask a question here also, what does this have to do with the chasana? If we look at the third brocha starts to speak already about woman and about marriage. But this brocha here, yetzer ha'adam, that Hashem has created man, this brocha has nothing directly to do with the chasana, and this brocha could be made anywhere. So what is its meaning? So then the Gemara explains in Rashi, Osram Ksubas, that since the Simcha is because Hashem made woman and brought woman to man, this is the Simcha, we must make a bracha first on man. Why? Because woman was made from man. We cannot come to be mevorach, to make a bracha and to thank Hashem for the creation of woman, unless first we thank Hashem for the creation of man, because woman was not created independently, but rather she was fashioned from man. But the Gemara explains that there are two opinions on how Hashem did this. One opinion is shtei yitziros. Hashem made two creations. First he created man, and then from man he created woman. So then it's good. First bracha we make on the first creation, and then this, later on we come to the second creation. But there's another opinion in the Gemara that originally he made only yetzira achas, one creation. He made man and woman together, and later he divided them. So if that's the case, so then how can we make a bracha on man alone? Man was never alone. So that the Gemara says that even according to the opinion that he made only one creation and divided them, but it was all about makshava, but his original thought was to make two creations. His original thought was to make two creations, and then he changed his mind and he made one creation. And so we go after the original thought. That means that Hashem always had in mind first to create man, and then from man to create woman. We'll go into it in a few minutes as to why. But at any rate, woman became a product of man. She was created from man. So we cannot start talking about and praising woman in the eyes of Hashem unless first we praise Hashem for creating man. So therefore the second bracha, Yetzer ha'odon, that we give praise to Hashem for the creation of man. Now the third bracha. Third bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Yotzar Es Ha'odom Betzalmo. He who has created man in his image, Betzalem Demus Tav Nisai, in his own image,
in his own print. V'hiskin le'mimenu, and from him he fashioned a binyan adi ad. From him he fashioned a binyan, a structure adi ad, which would last forever. Baruch ato Hashem yetzera od. Blessed is you Hashem who has created man. Now this brocha is the first brocha of the Zayin brochas of the seven, which start dealing with women and marriage. And that's what it means, v'hiskin le'mimenu binyan adi ad, that was fashioned from him a structure which would last forever. But we can ask a question here, and that's the purpose of this brocha. But we can ask the question, if the purpose of this brocha is to praise Hashem on the creation of woman, which is in order now, so why again do we start Ashi Yotzer Es Odom Betzalmei, who has created man in his image? We already spoke Yotzer Odom, who has created man. So why again do we speak about Ashi Yotzer Es Odom Betzalmei, who has created man in his image? And secondly, we end the brocha by saying Yetzer Odom, who has created man. We already made a brocha on that. Okay. So we have two questions in this brocha. I'll repeat them. First brocha was on the wine. That's proper. The second brocha was on the gathering of the crowd, as explained. Now we want to come and praise the creation of woman. So first we must praise the creation that gave to the creation of woman, which was the creation of man. So that was the second brocha, the third brocha. Now the fourth brocha speaks about the praising of the creation of woman. Now this is in order. But why do we start it? Asher Yotzer Es Odom Betzalmei, he who has created man in his own image. Now we're going back to the Yetzir Rishena, to the first creation. And why do we end it by saying Yetzer HaOdom, blessed are you who has created man? This we already spoke about. So an answer to that can be, in this brocha we are engrossed, in this brocha we are occupied with praising now the creation of woman. But one might think that woman, who is only a secondary product, a byproduct of the creation of man, was not created with all of the superior levels and caliber which he gave to man. We know man is the Nifchor Habriya. Man is the perfection of the creation. He gave to man what he gave to no other creations. He made man Melech, Melech Betachtenim, the sages. Man was the king. All creations walk on all fours. Only man is the one who walked upright. Why? Because all creations were created to serve man, and therefore they are a level of servants. Servants walk bowed down, and man, who's a king, walked upright. Actually, we find in the early days of the creation, in Gan Eden yet, that the Nochash, the serpent, also walked upright. So the sages tell us why. He was Orum Mikol HaChayis. He also was given an enormous degree of wisdom, and he also was made as a king. He was made the king of Kol HaChayis, of all of animal life, and man was made king of the entire physical world, and Hashem was the king of all of the worlds. But because the serpent went and rebelled against Hashem, and he caused man to rebel against Hashem, so he was demoted. Hashem cut off his feet, and he had to crawl like all of the other servants, and even lower on his belly. But man remained king. Now the greatest gift that Hashem gave to man, and all of the gifts that Hashem gave to man, is actually encompassed this Ki Betzelem Elokim Os Hashem, that he made him in his own image. That encompasses all of the brochas. That he made man like he himself. He gave to man part of he himself. Just like Hashem is a king, he made man a king. Just like Hashem has wisdom, he gave man wisdom. Just like Hashem has free choice, he gave man free choice. Now we might think this he only gave to man. But what about woman? Maybe the woman doesn't have all of this. So now when we come, and this is not true, woman also was given this. So therefore when we come now to praise the creation of woman, we want to say that she possesses all of these attributes that was given to, that were given to man. So therefore we say the bracha before was referring that he created man. That was the first creation. Now we come and we're interested only now in the creation of woman. But in defining the creation of woman, we define it accordingly. He created man in his image. B'tzelem demustav nisoy. In his image and in his form did he make him. V'hiskin lay mimenu, and from this creation he made woman. See? In other words, in order to define the creation of woman, we have to define now clearly where she was created from. And therefore we start by defining what Hashem, how Hashem made man. Actually there's a Gro, there's a Vilna Gaon in his Pirush HaDeres Eliyahu who writes that it seems from what he writes that woman was basically the same level as man when she was created. This we find that later on man rules over woman. This came later, this came after the chait, after the sin of eating from the Eitz HaChaim, the tree of knowledge, the Eitz HaDas. But in the Tchilas Bria, in the beginning of the creation, so a woman was made as an Ezer Kenegdoi, as a helpmate for man, but they were created on totally equal levels. So at any rate, this is what's brought out here. So therefore first we must define in particulars the creation of man in order to understand the creation of woman that came from him. And also to realize that she was not, she wasn't created from some other source, which would mean that she would be inferior, from an inferior source, since man was the most superior source that Hashem had created. Then, what we can, a further observation we can make on this, it states, V'hiskin lei mimenu binyan adi ad. He made from him a structure forever for him. Now, from the fact that it states v'hiskin lei, that he made from him a structure forever for him, here we're speaking now not only of woman and of marriage. See, this is a brocha praising woman and marriage, because she was made not only from him, but she was made for him. And then, what does it mean, binyan adi ad? A structure which would last forever. Here, we come now to a new level. Man is limited. Man is limited to his life period. Once he dies, eneno, he's no longer here. So man is not forever. However, the brocha, this second creation of woman, brought to man a foreverness. Because through woman, he has children. And through children, he can live on forever. So therefore, she is referred to not only as v'hiskin lei mimenu binyan, that she was structured from him for him as a structure, but as a binyan adi ad, that man's capability of living forever comes through the creation of woman. And how's that? Because after he marries, he can have children, and then his power can go on forever. This is important. Man must realize that his life, his own life, is very short. 70 years is the normal life, and then he's gone. He's very strong, 80 years, maybe a little longer, but then he's gone. But his presence in this world can be forever, adi-ad, through the brocha of woman and his wife. And this is a tremendous brocha, therefore we must praise Hashem on it. Therefore, after saying that he made where woman came from, we have to describe where was her source. She was made for man in order to be a binyan adi-ad, to give him a foreverness. Now this is a physical foreverness. We find also that on this world man can live forever, the Gemara says, not only through bringing physical children into the world, but spiritual children, Talmidim. Sages tell us, B'chol mokeim, ha-talmidim kruim bonim, va-bonim kruim talmidim. They're interchangeable. Someone you teach Torah to, that's known as a son, because binyan, the words bonim and binyan and building are interchangeable. Through teaching Torah, you create spiritual children. So this is another way in which man has a nitzchias, that man has a foreverness. That's why it's interesting, Rabbi Kiva in Masechta Yevamos, Daf Samach Aleph, Rabbi Kiva said two things. He says, Im yesh leibonim biyaldusai, evi leibonim biziknusai. If you had children in your youth, have children again in your old age. Because then your days are mem yikosher, because you don't know which ones will turn out good. Im yesh leitalmidim biyaldusai bitzirosai, and if you had disciples in your youth, continue to have disciples in your old age, because you don't know which ones will turn out good. So in the same statement, he encompasses both, because these are the two ways in which man acquires a presence forever in this world. We can ask Akashi here a question that we've mentioned before, and that is, we see the Seder HaDvorim, the order that Hashem chose was first to create man, then from man to create another creation which had the same capabilities of man, Tzelem Elokim, the image of Hashem, and bring them together one after the other. Firstly, why didn't Hashem create both at the same time? We find by all other types of lives, Zocha and Akeva, male and female, were created at the same time. All forms of life. The only exception is man. There they were created one after the other. Secondly, especially according to the one who says that they were both created together, and then Hashem separated them. If Hashem wanted them to be separate, like it was in the end, so why did he make them separate? Why did he have to create one from the other? He created them either together and he separated them, or he created man and he fashioned woman from man. And then they were two beings, they were two yetziras. So why didn't he create them to begin with like that? Amidst the Gaon answers, the Vilna Gaon answers in his Pirush Mishle. He says, separate they had to be, because he wanted an Ezer Kenegda, he wanted one to help the other. And a person can't help himself, a person needs an external force to help himself. Ein chobush mate es atzmai. Someone's in prison, he needs help from outside to get free. So since he wanted one to help the other, there had to be two beings. Therefore they couldn't be one. So that's why in the end they had to be two. So why didn't he create them as two separate beings? and they could have created them together as two separate beings, at the same time, as two separate beings, because Hashem wanted them to be one. Because Ish v'Isha is Echot. Man and woman are one. Mora says when they get married, they become one. Ish teki gufay. In halacha, always a woman has the same halacha as her husband. They're one. So in other words, Hashem wanted both things. He wanted them to be as two entities, so one could serve the other and help the other. And at the same time, he wanted them to be one. So how can you have both? Well, they're two entities and they're one entity. Therefore, first he created them as one entity. And then he separated them that they should be two entities, but through their marriage, they merge together again as one. Spiritually, they come back together as one. Had he created them two to begin with, from two you can't make one. So he had to create them where they were one to begin with, and then fashion the second one from the first one. And that's why they couldn't be created at the same time either. First had to be one, and then the other from them. Now, the closing of that bracha is Yetzer HaOdom. Now we ask the question, why do we close the bracha Yetzer HaOdom? Blessed is Hashem who created man. We already made that bracha, and that's how the previous bracha closed, Yetzer HaOdom. And that the answer is, even though it's the same words, it's a different kavanah, it's a different intention. In the bracha before, where we said Yetzer HaOdom, we were referring to man alone. In the second bracha, when we say Yetzer HaOdom, there we're speaking about man and woman. So we're referring to HaOdom, the HaOdom which encompasses both Zocher and Nekeva, both man and woman. In the Torah it states in Bereishis Hei, Pasuk Beis, Zocher v'Nekeva Boram Vayavarech Esam Vayikre Shmam Odom. Hashem created male and female, and he blessed both of them, and he called both of them by the name of Odom. Odom has two meanings. Odom sometimes can refer to man alone, but the full meaning of Odom refers to man and woman. This is what the Chazal bring. Because the Torah states, Hashem created male and female, blessed them both, and called them both by the name of Odom. That's why the Gemara brings that a person is only complete, is Nikra Odom. When is a person called completely a man? When he's married together to a woman. So the first Yetzer Odom, we're referring to the limited sense of Odom, man alone. But now that we're saying v'hiskin le'mimenu binyan adiyad, that he fashioned from man another creation that was a structure forever for him, so now we say Yetzer HaOdom, who has created man, who encompasses both Zocher v'Nekeva, both male and female. Now we go to the next brocha. This is brocha number 5. Says Tosis v'Sogel HaKorah. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring simcha and joy to the barren one. Who is the barren one? This refers to Yerushalayim. B'kibbutz boneha l'secha b'simcha. And how shall he bring simcha and joy to the barren one, to Yerushalayim, to Eretz Yisrael and Jerusalem? By bringing her children back to her with rejoicing. Yerushalayim is considered a barren mother, because all of her children have gone away. But by bringing her children back to her, this will bring her rejoicing. Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you, our God, misameach Tzion bevoneha, who brings joy to Tzion through her children. Now what does this bracha have to do here? Here in the middle of all, in the middle of the chasana, we start speaking about Yerushalayim. So Rashi says kipshuta, Rashi says simply, because we're obligated to always mention, remember Yerushalayim, Areshim Chosi, like Dovra Melech said. Dovra Melech said, Elo I will bring up, I will remember Yerushalayim always. When we go into Golus and Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim is Betzorah. Sometimes in Golus things will be very nice, and if things are nice, we'll forget about the Tzoras of Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. David HaMelech made a vow that no, I'll never forget, even at the height of my Simcha, I will not forget Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. So therefore Rashi says that's the purpose of this brocha. Although that's the simple sense, but there are many difficulties with that. Because firstly, if you look at this brocha, we're really not talking about Eretz Yisrael. We're referring to Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, but we're really not talking about them. We're speaking of an akora, of a barren woman. We're speaking of bringing joy to the barren woman through her children. Sogel akora b'kibbutz b'neha. We're speaking about mitzameach tzion b'vaneha, to bring rejoicing to Yerushalayim, to Eretz Yisrael with her children. If we were just wanted to talk about the Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, we would speak about the building of the Beis HaMikdosh and the returning of the Shechina to Eretz Yisrael. See, here you see the emphasis of the Brocha is on the barren woman and her children. That's one question. A second question is, why do we make a Brocha on this? Even though we have to always remember Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, and we do it many times, there are many, many halachas. For example, when you build a home, you're supposed to leave a little area undone, and so forth. So, and that's the reason, really, why we break a glass under the chuppah. But this is a special brocha. We don't usually find a special brocha made on that. And thirdly, if you look at the last brocha, in the middle of the last brocha, not as a special brocha, the last brocha is speaking of the Simcha of the Chosen Mekala, but in the middle we say, Meir Hashem Elokeinu Yishomi Bar Yehuda V'chutz Yerushalayim Kol Sosim V'Kol Simcha. That Hashem should bring to Yerushalayim the voice of the Chosen, the voice of the Kala, and so forth. See, there we mention Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. So there's some difficulties with this. So perhaps we can say another question is also is, if we're mentioning Yerushalayim, why do we do it here in the middle? It should be either done in the beginning or the end, but why right in the middle here? So perhaps we can say a little differently. What are we dealing with at this point? We're dealing with the creation of woman who came from man, and Hashem made her from man and for man in order to be a binyan adei ad, a everlasting structure through their children. Now this is in a physical sense that they become forever physically through having physical children. The Maral brings in many places that it's not only in a physical sense, because the chitun, the zivug, the coming together of man and woman and becoming one is not physical, because physically they won't be one. But we see that it's a spiritual enjoyment. Like the Gemara brings that Hashem places one letter of his name, the Yud, in Ish, and another letter of his name, the Hey, in Isha, and only through Hashem's name and his Shekhinah can they merge into one. So it's physical in a sense and it's spiritual in a sense. Eretz Yisrael is also, the Maral says, it's physical in a sense, but it's spiritual in a sense. Eretz Yisrael is physical land, but at the same time it's Eretz HaKadosha. It's sanctified. During the time of the Beis HaMikdash, every day 10 miracles took place. Asorah Nishim Shebechol Yeh. So Eretz Yisrael also is physical in a sense and spiritual in a sense. The Gemara in Barachas brings, and Avov, that whoever comes to a chasna and he brings simcha, so he brings simcha to the chosen and to the chala, it's ki'ilu bono ach michuv Yerushalayim. It's as if he's building up one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. Now what does this mean? So the Maral says, because when you bring Simcha to the Chos Mekala, so you bring them closer together. Actually, the Gemara brings, in general, how should a person bring Simcha to a Chosan and Kala? So first thing, he should realize what we said before, he should try to emulate Hashem. Whatever he does at a Chasana, he should think of how would Hashem bring Simcha to the Chosan and Kala? Because that's why we come, Rashi says. We come because Hashem came. See? So that's the first thing. Secondly, the Gemara says, actually, the way to bring Simcha to a Chosan and Kala is to praise the Kala in the eyes of the Chosan. Kala Noave Hasuda. To praise the Kala in the eyes of the Chosan, and the same thing vice versa. Why? Because this makes them more beloved one to the other, and this brings them closer together. And the whole purpose of the Chosan and Kala is that they should, as Zivu Gyale Ole Yofa, that they should be brought perfectly together. So whoever comes to a chasna and helps to bring a chosan and kala perfectly together, what is he doing? He's making here a combination of a physical and spiritual perfection and oneness. This can have its influence in rebuilding Eretz Yisrael, which also requires a physical and spiritual perfection. He says that's what the Gemara means, that whoever brings Simcha to a Chosan and Kala, ki labona churv achas mi Yushalayim. Achas mi churvish Yushalayim. It's as if he helps to rebuild a ruin in Eretz Yisrael. So it's very good now. We're speaking here, we're praising Hashem, who has made woman from man, in order that to bring them together, and together they should be everlasting, through their children. Now we go one step further, that we make a brocha and we're mispalo to Hashem, that he should extend that. He should extend that physical and spiritual unification and perfection, where it will take effect in Eretz Yisrael also, and make the barren woman of Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, again with simcha and rejoicing, through her children. Just like the Chos and the Kala merge together, and through this they become fruitful. And forever, so should this happen to the Akora be'Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, Misameach Tzion Bevonecho. Now we have the sixth brocha. Sameach Tzamach Reim Ahuvim Kisameachacho Yetzircho B'Ganeid Mikedem. This bracha, Rashi explains, this is a tefillah. We ask Hashem that he should bring simcha to our chosan v'kala. Our chosan v'kala that we have here in front of us, we ask Hashem, sameach tesameach. Bring simcha to them. Bring rejoicing to them. Bring rejoicing to them the same way you brought rejoicing to your first chosan v'kala, which took place in Gan Eden. Rashi mentions, bring Hatzlocha to them all of their days, La'ilam, forever, with everything. And he mentions also Panosa, that they should always have Panosa, enough to eat, good home, and so forth. How does that fit into the Brocha? So if you look in the Rashi, this is what he means. Because the first Simcha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought to the Chosan and Kala was in Gan Eden. Gan Eden was a level that would last forever. And had they not sinned, Gan Eden was Panosa forever. As Rashi brings, Hashem planted trees in Gan Eden and there was enough Panosa there forever. So just like Hashem brought everything to the Chosan and Kala in Gan Eden, so shall he bring everything to the Chosan and Kala in front of us. So that's what it means, Sameach to Sameach, Reim Ahuvim. Bring Simcha, Hashem should bring Simcha to these two beloved people, to the Chosan and Kala, like he brought Simcha to his first creation in Gan Eden. There's another intention also. And this I believe I once heard from my Rebbe, Rav Gifter, tells the Rosh Yeshiva, that this Simcha, what is the Simcha that the Chosan and Kala have? The greatest Simcha they have is the Simcha's Chosan and Kala. It's the Simcha that they're getting married, that they're being brought together. Where is the Sheirish? Where is the source of that simcha? We know that's a very, very powerful simcha. That simcha is very, 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 very strong, very powerful. Where is the source of that simcha? The source of that simcha was by Adam and Chava. And where did that take place? That took place in Gan Eden. So we asked Hashem that this simcha that he should bring to this Chosen Mekala should encompass the rejoicing that Adam had with Chava, which was in Gan Eden. This means it would have a tam Gan Eden. Right? That this simcha would have a taste of Gan Eden in it. This is what we're mishpala. Kesamechacho yitzircho be Gan Eden mikedem. This could be a reason why this is such an overwhelming simcha. And then we come to the seventh brocha. The seventh brocha is Olachato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Boro Sosed V'Simcha. Blessed is Hashem who has created Sosed V'Simcha, Chosen V'Kalo, Gilo Rina Ditzah V'Chedmo, Ava V'Achva V'Sholem V'Reus. Blessed is Hashem who has created Sosed V'Simcha. There's mentioned here 12 different types of rejoicing. Sosen, Simcha, Chosen, Kalo, Gila, Rina, Ditsa, V'Chedva, Ava, V'Achva, Sholem, V'Reus. 12 different types of rejoicing, each one different than the other. It would take a deep study to define each one perfectly, where it's not just a repetition of the other. 12 different types. Now here Rashi says, This is the previous brocha was at Tfilo. We asked Hashem that he should be mesameach ar chosen v'kala here. This brocha is not at Tfilo. We're not asking Hashem to be mesameach ar chosen v'kala because we already did that. But we're blessing Hashem that he has created such joy in the world. See? We bless Hashem that he has created such joy in the world. Why 12 joys? Because all of them are experienced by a chosen v'kala. All of these 12 joys should be experienced by the chosen v'kala. So we thank Hashem for such a creation. Now actually there's a question here. Why does it mention, it's good why it mentions Sosen and Simcha, Gila, Rino, Ditzah v'Chedva, but why chosen v'kala? It would seem chosen v'kala means the chosen v'kala experience all the other joys. But here as it lists out all of the different levels of simcha, it mentions chosen v'kala. Why is that in the middle? On this I once heard from the other Rebbe of mine, Reb Mordechai Katz, zichrono livracha, tells the Rosh Hashim. And he brought this that it was almost explicit in the Medrash Shir Hashirim. That just like Hashem created Sholem, and he created Ditzah and Chedvo, all different types of simchas, Chosen and Kala also is a creation of simcha. Is a simcha by itself. Besides the fact that a Chosen and Kala experience all of the other simchas, they also experience a simcha which is miuchedus, a simcha which is individual to a Chosen and Kala. And that's simcha's Chosen and Kala. So that's why amongst all of those that I mentioned here is mentioned also Simchas Chosen V'Kala. And then, as we are blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he has created in the world such Simcha, and why here? Because the top of the list is the Simchas Chosen V'Kala. So as we bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that, then, now according to what we said before is very good, see, then we must remember though that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take this simcha also in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, that meanwhile is desolate and in ruin. So therefore here we say Meheiro, see, we mispalo to Hashem that Meheiro Hashem Elokeinu Yishomei Be'ori Yehuda, that Hashem should let us hear in the cities of Yehuda and in the courts of Yerushalayim all of the simcha, the voice of Sosan, of simcha, of chosan vekala. So the simcha will not only be here, or not only be outside of Eretz Yisrael, but Eretz Yisrael should be filled with the simcha also. And then we say, Mesameach chosan ima kala. Let him bring simcha of chosan together with the kala. So these are the seven brochas that we have, which are known as Sheva brochas. And this again is with the second cup of wine, and this is known as Birchas Kasanim, because this is the brocha of the Nesuim when the Kala enters into the Chosan's house. The first brocha is on the wine, the second brocha is on the gathering of the people, the third brocha is on the creation of man, because we cannot come to praise the creation of woman unless we first talk about man, because woman was not made independently, but she was made from man. The fourth brocha is the creation. We praise the creation of woman and how she was made to be brought to man. And the fifth brocha, Rashi says, is a brocha for Eretz Yisrael Yerushalayim. But we explained it, that just like we praise that woman was brought together for man, and together they become a creation forever, bringing life into the world, so should this take place through this creation. This should influence this to take place on the barren, on the Akor of Yerushalayim, on the barren mother of Yerushalayim. The sixth brocha is we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should give to the Chosan V'Kala the Simcha of Chosan V'Kala, like he gave to Adam and Chava in Gan Eden. And the seventh brocha is we thank Hashem for bringing such a creation in the world. 12 types of simchas, and on the top of them the simcha of the chosan and the kala, to bring this into the world, and it should overflow into Eretz Yisrael. Incidentally, these sheva brochas, so the first brochas are on the erusin, and the second brochas are on the nesuin. Now these sheva brochas, not the first brochas, but the seven, the birchas chasanim, are repeated at the Sudas Nesuin, at the wedding feast, and then again they're repeated any time during the Shiva Shemei Amishter, any time during the 7 days of celebration. If a meal is held in honor of the Chosan V'Kala, it must be a meal which is honor of the Chosan V'Kala, not just the people at home gathered together, and there is someone present at that meal who is not present at the wedding feast or any of the previous meals, and it's a type of person that adds simcha to the chosan v'kala, it must be a type of person that adds simcha, that they rejoice over, then these sheva, and there's a minyan, there's 10 people, then these sheva brochas would be repeated again. So this gives us an insight into the brochas of the erusin and the brochas of the nesuin. We should always have simchas by Klal Yisrael and ubechutzis Yerushalayim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.